Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're always grateful to be in your house, to worship your name, knowing that we have access and liberty through yourself and all the measures and ways that you and your wisdom took to bring about that which is now in perfection. And we're happy for that, Lord, that it doesn't rest in us. It rests in your own power to bring your own word to pass, which we're part of that, and we're thankful for it. And we just marvel at your goodness. We'll never cease praising you for this, and there just wouldn't be any way to cease praising you for this, Lord. And we're glad we can start down here in this great measureless ocean of grace. We praise you for it. Now be with the study of the word. May it do our hearts good, Lord. Just warm us to it, and may we have liberty in the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. May be seated. Certainly happy to see Brother and Sister Clausen with us tonight. Certainly welcome them. And I'm going to take a shorter message tonight, cut this back, because I've been talking to Brother Zwonko here. I mean, I don't get his name quite right, but I don't think I got all his questions answered, so you can always ask me. That's what we do here, Brother. They ask questions. They usually discuss the word for a certain number of weeks or months, and then they come to church and I say, well, who's got some questions? Not that I have any authority, but I'll do my best to help. And that's about all we can do. Now, going to be away on Sunday, I guess a couple Sundays, and I'll have to have Brother Evans take charge of some meetings, and we'll have some tapes also, especially this Sunday, Abraham's Covenant, and it's just very good with what we've been studying in the message, and then maybe the Sixth Sense or something like that. We'll get that lined up, and then Brother Evans can take what he feels he would like to take that's on his heart. And if he's too busy with all the crops, well, just more tapes, that's the answer. Been so long getting away, and haven't got away yet, of course, but my wife said, what's the matter? You feel kind of nervous about the church? And I said, no. I said, nothing wrong, church. I said, if I go away, and there's just two things can happen. Either when I go away, they'll go ahead spiritually, and then they get so bad they blow up. I said, either case, I can't lose. You know, I was just kidding, of course, but it's the truth. Isn't that horrible? I have to go home and repent. Something like that. Now, in the way of a true prophet, this would be number four, we notice that Brother Branham is actually talking about himself. That's just make no mistake about it. It sounds, many times Brother Branham said things that were in direct reference to himself, but he went out of his way to come around. And that's why that little book that I wrote, 20th Century Prophet, was valuable to him, because I could say the things that he could not say so directly. But all the information we're receiving on Amos here is really telling us that he will be like Amos, like John the Baptist, like Elijah, like the prophets of old, because the word of the Lord came to him. And so that's what he's we're looking at here. And he mentions judgment, how the prophet comes in judgment, how the prophet comes to correct. And we're about on page 24. That's a pretty good place to start. And he, speaking of a true prophet, now he said he would blast and condemn every bob-haired woman. Now, of course, that goes over like a lead balloon, because people say, what in the world has that got to do with it anyway? Because they're always of the opinion that if this thing is done, then it involves a spiritual concept. See, like, well, look at me. I don't bob my hair, see? And that's not it. It isn't that you're a better person because you don't bob your hair. It's a command of the Lord. See? And it's not saying you'll go to heaven by it or go to hell without it. It's what God laid down here. Now, how could he do anything else? He's a prophet. Now, you see, how can I do anything else, he says. I'm a prophet. He'd say, you Jezebels. That's what he said. He'd get rough on them. Why? He's a prophet. He'd have to stay with the word. That's right. You think they'd stop? No, sir. They'd say, It's a fanatic out there. He's as bad as that old Paul was in the Bible, a woman hater. Now, what is he telling you? He's telling you the same spirit that was on Elijah, was on Amos, it was on John the Baptist, is on him. And was on Paul. One woman said, why, she said to Brother Branham, you're just a woman hater. You get on to us like Paul did. Well, he said, no, I don't hate women. He said, I love my sisters, of course, in the spiritual sense. It's a fanatic. He's as bad as old Paul was in the Bible, woman hater. He said, you bunch of imposting, well, he meant, that's a good word, but it's no word at all. The imposters, so-called Christians, hypocrites is the word, see? Now, this man, Brother Branham said, is the word of God for the hour. Well, now, if he's the word of God for the hour, and Jesus was the word of God that you look forward to and everybody looks back to because that's the fullness, and this man, like John the Baptist, like Elijah, like Amos, like Paul, like William Branham, comes on the scene now, and he brings out these things which are in themselves a condemnation. Where does that put all this stuff that's called love? Now, see, that's my beef. And you might as well let all the tapes on love go out. I've been betrayed. Whether you know it or not. I gave some tapes out, and this brother just let them go. So I found that out. So let them go. I'll take the last tape one of these days and bring it all together, and I'll show you some things in there where there's no way, brother, that you can deny what I'm preaching. There's no way. In the light of what God showed Brother Man 64, the evidence the Holy Ghost was not love, there is no way that you can get around it. And it's just beginning to form in my mind, so I might as well tell you. Now, see, how would this line with what the church calls love? Well, there's really no harm. You know, what was it? Why, I used to tell Brother Branham, I said, come on, Bill. I said, I've seen these long-haired dames, they could lick the jam off a doorknob. They're so gossipy. And as mean as that old cow I would talk about. Well, he said, I never said it was a sign of spirituality. Oh, boy. What are you talking about? You know, if it doesn't do you any good, so to speak. Well, it does, but it's a Nazarite vow, see? Okay, now, no matter how holy you try to live, that don't have one thing to do with it. Now, watch, see? As long as you deny God's word and don't line up to it, you're a sinner and an unbeliever. Now, he's talking about long hair and contradistinction to short hair, because short hair is against the word of God. Now, you understand, of course, you bring this to a Pentecostal church or any church that's nominal today, you'll be condemned right there. There's no way they can take this. See, the traditions of man have overruled the thus saith the Lord of a prophet. Now, notice Brother Branham hits this a lot. The prophet's got to have thus saith the Lord. And long hair is thus saith the Lord. See? All right. He's just a sinner and unbeliever. That's what he'd say. He'd lay the axe right to the root of the tree. He wouldn't spare anything. He's a prophet, and that's the way of a true prophet. To lay the axe to the root. To chop and to cut down. Now, people don't believe that. See, they think that the prophet is here somehow, maybe going to help you get to heaven. Well, that's not really true. He doesn't help you get to heaven. He makes sure you get to heaven. Like John did, to make ready people prepared for the Lord. What's a prepared people? Elected. Predestination. Already made up. What's ready? Well, they can take off any time. You know, their health. They stay with the word regardless of who it is. If it's their own mother and daddy, makes no difference. Jesus did that way. Wouldn't even as much as call her mother. She wasn't. He was God. God doesn't have a mother. If he would, then who's father? Very good question. All right? Now notice what Brother Branham is saying here, that this prophet is judgmental because he's condemning. He'd blast and condemn them. He'd condemn every denomination because there's none of them built on the word. Now you know that every denomination says it is. They will tell you the denominations were built because further light was available. They came and took the light, and the people behind them didn't, so therefore they had to build another structure. That is a lie in the pit of hell. The church is not made of structures. It is one structure. And the life that's in a baby, as Brother Branham said, is not a human cell, than a dog cell, than a bear cell, than a cow cell, and a pig cell, and God knows what. But that's what the church wants to do. It's got to have the cell of the Word, the life in the Word. And so it's going to align with the Word. He'd blast them. There's none built on the Word. I can't find one of them. As soon as they denominate, they're against the Word right then. So how can the prophet bless what the Word condemns? I was letting you know right there that if you know anything about what a prophet did when he came on the scene, and God was the first prophet, he had to blast what was done. He said, "Who?" He said, "What's going on here? Who told you you're naked?" "Why did you hide?" Adam said, "Why? I hid." He said, "Why did you hide?" See, the first prophet, being God, set the tenor. So if a prophet comes on the scene and he doesn't blast, it's like Brother Branham said, that any healing revival that doesn't make the people come out is not a genuine healing revival. See, you just got to understand what he said and stick with it. So therefore, a prophet has to condemn. Now, he's not condemning the people. He said, "I don't condemn the people. There's good people in there." He said, "I'm condemning the organization." Now, he said, yet he doesn't want to hurt his brother. But he's got to do it because he's a prophet. And he's the representation of the true Word of God and won't move from it in any way at all. Precept on precept, line upon line. See what I mean? All right, let's go back to Isaiah 28. Now, he's talking about himself. So, all right, he's going to condemn. So what's he going to do? He's going to take the precept from the Word of God in order to condemn. All right, we might as well start reading about verse 5. "In that day shall the Lord of hosts be made for for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people." Now, it says right here that the Lord of hosts himself is going to be a crown of glory, and it'll be a diadem of beauty unto the residue of the people. In other words, he's telling you, what's he going to be? He's going to be the headstone. If he's going to be the crown, then it means he's going to come right down in the head. Which he will, which the last part of the church ages, the seventh church age, is formed up to this point where only Christ himself can sit on it. Come down upon it, one person. So, all right. "And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate." Now, he's going to back up the prophet that comes with the spirit of judgment at the time of the capstone. Well, God's got to back William Branham up. That's fine if he does. You came in here and condemned women with long hair, and you did this and you said that, all right. You said Los Angeles is going to go down. Mr. Duplessis has written the letter. I got the letter at home. And he said that condemner got condemned himself. Why, he said, "I'm out here in California." And he said, "With lovely saints of God, and I feel just at home and everything's fine." He said, if it goes down, what? He said, "Praise God, we go down." Well, praise God, we go up, I hope. trying to make a double entendre there. But it's all right. Now, notice, it says here, now, you're going to press the battle to the gate. Now, what are the gates of hell against? The presence. Of course, what Brother Branham said, once you see this message, that's all you'll see in the Word. Well, I see presence, that's all I see. I mean, I'm not stupid that I don't know if Seventh-day Adventists could see Saturday every day, too. But this, I believe we're right. "But they also have erred through wine," wrong stimulation, wrong revelation, "and through strong drink are out of the way." Then they take what their wrong revelation and make it a doctrine and build their church on it. See? "And the priest and prophet have erred through strong drink." They've gone to the seminary, think all of this clap, trap, and balderdash, which is against the Word. "They're swallowed up in wine. They're out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment." That proves that I said is right. It says right there. See? There's no the vision. "And they are in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, and there is no place clean." Now, Brother Branham's already said that in this message here. He said there's not one of them right. There's not one person. And would he have been right except God corrected him? He would not have been right except God corrected him. Now, Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Well, let's go over here about what? Hebrews 5 somewhere in there. Hebrews 5 or 6 might be about 5. I don't know what it is. We can try to find it. And it says here in Hebrews 5, it says, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing your dull of hearing. That's verse 11, Hebrews 5. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need one teach you again the first principles of the oracle of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, until Brother Branham came on the scene, do we understand this? By no means. We never understood righteousness and contradistinction from unrighteousness. Never understood these things. Oh, we put a lot on the glory of God. So Jesus Christ died upon Calvary and made a way for us. But this tells you're supposed to know something. Then you've got people come along and say, well, you don't have to believe, really understand what Brother Branham said. You just believe. Well, how do you know what you're believing? I heard people come out, they told me came out of marriage and divorce, and I told you before, and it's not nice to say, but they came out of divorce chuckling. One rooster, many hens. One bull, many cows. If that's you understood, go join Jones down there and be a polygamist. You're going to do it anyway. But you ain't going to make no rapture. Shows that you are. We'll get that just a minute. Some of these things. See, strong meat belongs to them at full age. And those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern be both good and evil. Well, you better know something right there. Then it says, leaving the principles. You go on to perfection, where the thing runs out. And when it runs out with a bang. Which in the time of the latter rain, the former rain comes. And what you do with that shows which way you're going, whether you're cock or burr, whether you're true. The way of a true prophet. Now he said, at that time of the weaning, you're no longer in the milk age. You're in the Melchizedek age. Remember, he was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, but never sat upon the throne. And Melchizedek was a king. David was priest-king. Jesus born into Judah. But Brother Branham says, souls are now in prison. He ripped the seals off the book, handed the book to the Father, and climbed upon the Father's throne. What happened? The one on the throne came down here. So, all right, run to the seals. At that time in Melchizedek, especially the time of rest. See, notice the transition of offices, the moving in. All right, precept upon precept at that time. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. In other words, the major doctrines were outlined. Then he began filling them in. And the tail end, he said, now you that are in the fivefold ministry, you break it down further and feed the people. If people don't want to be fed, well, that's fine. Well, people got to be fed. Take your pick. Do you want vomit or do you want the real? Amen. Now you're going to have to take one of the two. For man shall not live by bread alone. So he's predestinated to have a bread. Now what bread do you want? The polluted bread full of wiggle tails, or do you want the real, fresh from the ovens of Almighty God? Well, that's up to the person. Now, to whom he said, no. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. Alright? Now, what was the stammering lips and another tongue? The church age came in with tongues, and it goes out with tongues, the same as the Gentile age fell under the at Babylon, when Babylon, which is the first great age, went with handwriting of tongues on the wall. All right? Now you're getting down here. And he said, this is the rest, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. What was? Well, let's go back. In that day the Lord of hosts shall be for a crown. He'll be the head. He'll be the anointing. From headship to headship, we're back to headship. And when he comes, he reveals it all. As Brother Brown has said, from before the foundation of the world, and brings it right up to now. And he said that this is going to be the rest whereby you cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. But they would not hear. but the word of the Lord. Women, stop cutting your hair. Men, start smarting up. Get your doctrine lined up. God didn't take a back seat, but the word of the Lord was just the same to them. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here little, there little. That they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men. That's Malachi 4. You're proud to do wickedly. See? Now he's telling them what is going to happen in this hour. Then they say, well, we've made a covenant with death. And hell, and we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall come not unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion the bride. Now we're going to deal with her. A foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. So judgment will I lay to the line, righteousness to the plummet. He tells you right there that the judgment will I lay to the line. That's the same. That's the measuring line that they use in carpentry. The plummet is also one that does get the perpendicular. You're going to lay the building out horizontal, vertical. Absolutely right. You're building. See, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. They'll be in the great tribulation before they know it. So you could go on and on. See, because he just had to give you one little thought down here. Precept upon precept, take it back where it is, get the thing and throw it into context. And you've got a picture of what's going on at this very moment. And then he says, see what I mean? The way of a true prophet. Well, what has he got? Against, we have a refuge, not of lies, but a refuge against lies. Because the lie is, thou shalt not surely die, and spiritual death is the last plague. That's why Simeon took last week here. He said this prophet will come and show the true blessings. He'll come and show the true curses. And then one of the great curses manifests is women with bobbed hair show they've broken their Nazarite vow. They become the complete destitute horrors that Paul was afraid they'd become. Picture the church. The harlot daughters. Listen. Let me tell you something, brother, sister. Birth control has tried to be practiced for centuries and centuries. They've only got good at it recently. They're trying to show you something here. The harlot brought forth daughters. She got pregnant out of her wedlock because she's a whore. That's what she wanted. And you go back and find out, you'll find many a prostitute had baby after baby. Rotten kids, and you get diseases. Now they're trying to adopt two little babies out with AIDS, I think it is, or something. Two little poor little kids. This world's finished, brother, sister. I told you, I've been telling you a long time ago. I preached for years when I began to discover in the book of Genesis that God repented, he'd made man. That isn't as though he changed his mind. He was in abject sorrow because man was dying and dying and dying. He said, I just close it all up. And if you let this world go on without a judgment, without God sending a judgment to get rid of this world, they eventually will fall in their last breath. Somebody will pull his last breath in the cesspool of sickness. Just falling and he's gone. Well, God's going to cut it off. You say, why? Because he loves his own order. He loves the world. He died for the soil out there. You think he didn't? The blood went on it. Oh, I feel real religious, Brother Brandon would say. I feel real good in my soul. If he liked that, he sure liked me. But I'm out there. Yes, sir, we were from up. We can say which is even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Identified him 100%. Yeah, people don't even like the fact that I'm the Father's one. Because I like this whole thing. We don't have to worry about it. He did all the worrying for us. Come to me and say, Lord, I wish you'd make me a prophet. He doesn't do that. No, he doesn't do that. People say, I'd like to be a prophet. Why? So they'd be contrary. They'd be reactionary to the Word of God. That's what we got today, a bunch of reactionaries in the church. Ha! You talk about a stinking mess. Prophet comes on the scene, they just say opposite. He would condemn every immoral act of the churches. Now, notice what the immoral acts are. Bunko. Right away, you see, that's right. I agree that a moral act ought to go. Pornography ought to go, yes, sir. And all this, the sex ought to go. And drunkenness ought to go. And all this stuff ought to go. Well, what about your bunko party? Oh, now, just a minute. Listen, they're going to gamble anyway. You know, I thought Roan and Martin were sure cute that time. I never saw them on TV, but our daughter did. Or was in the paper anyway. And one of them said the other, he said, hey, he said, did you hear that they're going to make the store stop playing bingo? He said, that's good. He said, I think they should. They ought to put it back in the churches where it belongs. I thought that guy knew more than 90% of the preachers. Bingo. You go to a Catholic city and you just wonder which church you're going to play with. Your jackpot gets bigger and bigger. It's very tempting, $1,500, $2,500. And you can see poor guys with their mouth watering for that money, you know, when they're for a few cents, bunko's right. All these things they're having, card parties, soup suppers, to raise money, see? You know, they do this in the face of the fact there is nothing that beats tithing. And by the time that you get a group organized to expend their efforts and their money to raise money, you lose money. Anybody ought to know, by the time you pay millions to the Cancer Society of America, maybe $140 million, there's no proof that any more than 4% is ever spent on anybody, far as I know the figures. That's why I say, give through your church. Anybody not say, well, we got a good program at our church. We just give liberally down there and they help the people that need help. And that's why we just beat this drive all hollow. And we know that the money's not going to be used wrong. Don't even have to tell them that. Just tell them the truth. You ain't going to fool with them. I do. I tell them. She come to my door. I say, look, I'm sorry. I said, I gave liberally to our church. We help people. Yep. Even tell them how to die. Well, that doesn't do much good. He'd condemn every one of them. Listen, he'd blast them into hell where they came from. If a preacher talked like that, well, I guess it wouldn't hurt. Think you'd receive him? No, the church today wouldn't receive him. Pentecost receive him. Now, he's not talking about Amos. He's talking about William Branham. When he'd walk there and say, you bobbed-haired bunch of Jezebels, don't you know what thus saith the Lord means? It means if he's got thus saith the Lord, you fear him. I told you time after time out there in California, last time he was in California, he said, you women, he said, every I tell you to not bob your hair and wear those slacks, and every time I come back, he said, you're worshiping, they go, hee, 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 they were tittering. Oh, big joke. And the man demonstrated what he had. Paradox. It isn't just paradox. What is it? Mentally gone, as Brother Branham said. Why, he said, if there's nothing left in the soil out there for your food, he said, to build your body, he said, then it turns your body to corruption. What does it do? It turns your brain to mush. Well, then you go to the Word of God. And what are people? A bunch of mush. Okay. Walk out here with a little skinned up looking dress on. Don't you know you're guilty of committing adultery with every day with hundreds of men? That's what he'd say. They'd say, well, that old fogey, old bald-headed, gray-looking fella. Who had the bald head and looked gray? William Branham. Get him out of the pulpit. Let's see the trustee board. Deacons, get him out of here. Well, you miserable bunch of hypocrites. That's right. Amos would call it out. What about Bill Branham? Oh, heaven forbid. we're not prehistoric, you know, cucumbers like poor old Amos was, you know. Ha, we should have what Amos had. We do have it, praise God. The Brother Brand said, the closest thing to baptism of the Holy Ghost with the prophets had. So we're in a good bunch of people. Yes, sir. Then you call yourself, well, we belong to this group. We belong to that group. You're of the devil, your father, for he's the one that denies the word. You know, when Satan fell, he took a bunch with him, all kinds of devils running around. But when God comes down, just one God, one prophet. How many religions, how many doctrines, how many this, how many that? How many everything? As many devils in hell there are. But you've got one word, one God, one prophet. How can you lose? You're a man alive. When you got one choice, you know you got it. Like Sam Levinson said, he said, every meal time we had two choices, take it or leave it. Brother Brad, I said, the soul has a choice. Wouldn't it be great if so many people run around? Like they're trying to run around on this message. Just what did the prophet say? That's what God said. Then people say, well, you don't have to understand it. But they sure argue hard to prove their point the way they understand it. Huh? Fat. Why don't I look at it? Sauce for the goose and sauce for the gander. Say, I spoke with tongues, and then bob your hair? What kind of tongues was it? Not evidence, see. Glory to God, hallelujah. The Bible, you see, I'm going to tell you something. Brother Branham here is not just mouthing off. What he's doing right here is showing what Pentecostal people do. The minute they get stuck, they talk in tongues. Or try to show they got something by some little phenomenon. Yeah, open the refrigerator door and the light's on. Say, that's wonderful. It's something because the light was out for 3 days. Oh, we're going to get something new going to happen. Well, it just meant that you didn't have to get a new bulb. I don't know. Talk about crazy. Try to jump up everything. The Bible said that's a common thing. In other words, it's not right for a woman to pray with her head cut like that, the hair cut off, and call yourself a Christian, shame on you. Crawl up in a corner somewhere and get right with God. Now, he's even taking the name away of Christian from a person that's off there. Now, this is just not women. You've got to get the side of men, too. Put on them little old short clothes, get out of here and get out in the yard and stretch yourself out when you know good and well you're committing adultery to 100 men every day. Jesus said so. Who looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her. She's the one that presented herself. Now, if you think they didn't like that, what do you think, or how do you think they liked when Brother Branham said, let me tell you what's wrong with that woman. She is anointed with a false spirit, which is sexual spirit. Man, I want to tell you the cure is worse than the disease. Or the prognosis. The diagnosis in that case it would be. Was worse than the disease. Because he said, it's a spirit on her. And he proved he knew what he was talking about when a woman came to his table and said, Brother Branham, she said, I don't know what it is. But she said, men always try to pick me up. She said, there's a man over there trying to pick me up right now. He says, there's a spirit on you. But he said, I'll stop it. Just sit there and I'll start concentrating. And he concentrated until the man dropped a fork and a knife and he couldn't eat his food. He just bolted and left the restaurant. What happened to the woman? I don't know. I hope she got right with God. You're dead to the things of the world. You raised from that spiritual resurrection, as I said in the beginning. You turn your head in shame. Your eyes narrow upon such a thing of sin. Instead of look at women to lust after them. You men that do a thing like that and call yourself Christian. Now, see, he's going to get right back on the men. Well, if he doesn't get back on the men, what is the use? Temptation is temptation. Who is going to be tempted? Male and female both are tempted. So, therefore, if a woman is a temptation, then man gets tempted. Man has to bear the temptation. Temptation is not sin. It's walking into temptation, taking advantage of it, or letting it take advantage of you. See? Now, that's what he tell you. I'm trying to take his words this morning. Now, he let you know. They would be his words. For remember, he's a true prophet, and he'd stay with the word. And I'm just quoting his words, that's all. Because if you've brought him, he is the word, and there's the word itself. You may not have the man, but you got his word. Now, he's telling you there, look, you don't have Amos, but you got what Amos did. You don't have Isaiah, but you got what Amos said, what Isaiah said. He said, sure, you don't have the man. But he said, in plain, he said, I'm the man you got. And if I got the same spirit, he said, there's no way I'm going to be different from the rest of them. He's going to line up with the word. See? Because he'd have the word of the Lord. Then, you see, there wouldn't be one prophet who didn't have the word of the Lord, like I mentioned on Sunday, Micaiah. There was old Ahab, and he wanted Micaiah to preach good. Micaiah said, no way. He said, there's a prophecy against you. It won't work. And he said, I saw Israel scattered as a sheep without a shepherd. Oh, man, they got mad. But Micaiah didn't die. It was the old Ahab died. Now, every man made doctrine, he'd condemn it, such as baptism in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He'd throw that plumb back into eternity. He'd condemn it so there wouldn't be a smell of it left. Yes, sir. How many of you, how many churches this morning would receive him on that? Then they, this Jesus name bunch, they'd say, oh, we'd take him on that. And then your organization, he'd blast you right on out of it, out with it. That's right. You're bobbed-haired women, you putting up with that. That Jesus name bunch. That's right. Your men, the way they do an act. That's right. So in other words, the prophet has to be corrective. He's always showing the judgmental aspect, and he's showing that there's a final verdict from which there is no appeal. The seventh church age has a no appeal message. There's no way. It's either here or now, because it says so. Chaff for the burning. See, there's no way. You see, in other words, there's absolutely no such thing as a mediator, as an intercessor, or anything else left the minute you turn this word down. Now, you see, your children could come along the sixth stage, the fifth stage, the fourth stage, 3, 2, and 1. But in the seventh stage, no way. Because the final court of appeal, if you want to use the term, is, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, or it's all gone. And Elijah does it. So there's your final court of appeal. There's your verdict. The verdict's in. So what are you going to do? When the verdict's in, then it's handed over to the authority. Who's the supreme authority? God's the supreme authority. See? Son of man. He's judged. Why? Because he did all the work. Now it all runs out. Sure. People don't like to think that, but the point is they're going to run out sometime. Just like you and I are going to die one of these days if something doesn't happen. You're a bobbed-haired woman putting up with that. That's right. Now, a lot of people say it's good to be a prophet. It is, if you're ready to sell out everything of the world and stay with God and His Word. No, we wouldn't receive him by any means, our denomination today. We certainly have nothing to do with him. Listen to him blast it. He'd say, now listen, the very God that you claim to believe in, he'll destroy you. Now watch him prove it. Paradox. Double or compound meaning. Hebrews 13:8. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever, and he is risen from the dead, he will now do in the form of the Holy Spirit what he did when he was here upon earth. What did he do? He blasted them. See? Now, he warned them that there was destruction when he was here in the flesh. Then if he's here in the spirit, he will have to do the same thing he did back there. He will warn them it's going to fall. You're going to tell them how to get out. Those are going to miss it. So he's obligated. But they think that Hebrews 13:8 is simply that God is essentially an unchanging God, when the answer is God is not simply an unchanging God. He is a changing God. Without essentially changing. Oh, yeah. The one that becomes. Right. We see him becoming more and more to the judge. And the judge goes more and more to the king. And the king has a sovereign authority because the king said, I will send my son. And when the king said, when they killed the king's son, the king said, okay, they're all going to die. Just watch your Bible. Elohim becoming. You and I, little, we're becoming. People don't understand that. You say, Brother Bill, you becoming? Yes, sir. You say, I can't see it. Well, that's certainly not. What did they see in Abraham? You're looking at Abraham. Do what you want. That's why I'm as popular as Skunk at a garden party. I got my own garden. You bet. As far as I'm concerned, you could cut every tape from this moment on. I'd say, okay, let me. I'll preach the four walls. Yep, people just can't stand a prophet. Or, look, I'm going to tell you something. If a prophet did this, what about a fivefold ministry? Well, now the prophet was just a little boisterous. And you can't listen to him when he got really rough. You know, he didn't mean that. Well, that's a duplicity, he said. Well, the prophet did mean it. Him and Brother Brandon got smeared across the road. They said, woo-hoo-hoo, that proves it. He is a dirty dog. God got him. Paradox again. Oh, brother. Well, it's too bad. Now listen, he'll destroy you. What would it do about that? The very God that Pentecost believes in, from the very immoral acts and things that they're doing and permitting to be done, that very God will bring judgment upon their organization. That's exactly what Amos said to them. Now, remember, he's accusing them of breaking their Nazarite vow, public admitting to their prostitution, and dressing the way they are to prove it physically. You think they're going to believe what the prophet said? Why, they're going to say, I want to tell you something, Mr. Branham. We don't do immoral acts. What he said, your moral acts is already done, the way you let your women dress. The way you encourage fornication, spiritual fornication, which brings on spiritual death. Or they say, we got Abraham. We got this, we got law, we got priests, we got prophets. That's the day of Jesus, of course, in Amos. Oh, brother, those eyes narrowed as he looked upon them and blasted that word into them. Yes, sir, sure they wouldn't receive him. No, sir. He said, they'll destroy them with your man-made doctrines. That's what he'd tell you today. He'd say the same as he did then. He said, the very God that you're building churches to, perhaps paying millions of dollars, the very shrines you're building to Jehovah, that you claim that you love. Now, there's your love again. That very God will destroy you because you're rejecting his word. How much love is there in anything that isn't word, not oriented, but word conceived? Not just orientation. You can, orientation doesn't have a thing to do with inanimate. It has to do with the animate. I want to ask you a question. Where does life come? Comes from life. And it's not orientation, it's Genesis. Then that's where Brother Branham said, an eagle isn't like a chicken. He may get fooled for a while that he's a chicken, but there comes a day when cluck cluck is over. And peep peep. So with your love. So with anything. See? Said that very God will destroy you claim to love because you're rejecting his word. The church cannot walk and talk with God. No. Because they disagree. Only the bride can walk and talk with God. So it is today. In this hour the true prophet comes. And he says the very God that America claims to serve will bring judgment upon the nation and destroy it. I hope that gets so deep you'll never wiggle out of it. The very one that you claim that you love with your own man-made dogmas and immoral life and decay that you've got in you, that's dry rot, see, spiritual dead, away from the word of God will destroy you someday. That's thus saith the Lord. Now, that thus saith the Lord puts Brother Branham in the true class, not in the Balaam class, and he goes back to Deuteronomy 18, which is when a man comes in the name of the Lord and the thing comes to pass, you fear him. How many people feared Brother Branham? Is it time to change? Well, that's the end of the service. You've got questions, haven't you?